Let's open to 1 John. Come all the way back to 1 John, please, and 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, over in 1 John chapter 5, this is one of the foundation scriptures that we're going to use. And we're using this because it sets a stage for where we want to go. And this is one of them, and I'll read it. Whosoever believeth on that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So he's saying here that whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of y'all are born of God? Amen. Then you are a world overcomer. And there is nothing in this world that can stop you. You are a world overcomer. Now let's turn now to Luke's gospel and Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Over in Luke chapter 17. Now in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is teaching his disciples here, and for the most part, he's teaching them on forgiveness and how to forgive. And he says here in Luke chapter 17, and verse 3, I'll pick up there. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, let's put something right there and turn with me over to Romans and Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm going to have you turning to quite a few scriptures because there's some territory and some coverage I want to get here. I want to get to some points here before we end tonight's teaching. Romans chapter 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, he is saying here that God has dealt to every man not a measure of faith, but the measure. So there is a measure of faith that God has dealt to every man. But who is every man that we're talking about? Verse 1. I beseech ye therefore who? Brethren. So the every man that he's talking about is not the man that don't know God. Every man that he's talking about are the brethren. Those who have been born again. So they have been dealt the measure of faith. So I got the same portion that you got, so forth and so on. Now, if you come back to John's gospel in chapter 3, over in John chapter 3, over in John chapter 3, and if you look here at verse 1, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, that born again there, I don't know about your Bible, but in some translations it has, in the center column reference, born from above. So he is saying born again means basically born from above. So a person can be born in the earth and born from above. Here he goes down to describe that. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answers that, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, you could look at that a couple of ways. Water, you could look at it as the, have you ever heard the expression where women are pregnant and then it's time to have the child and they said the water broke? Okay. So born of the water could be a natural birth. And then he said also born of the Spirit, which can be that supernatural birth or born from above or out of the womb of God. Now, that could be one way you put that. Another way could be water representing the Word and Spirit representing the Holy Ghost. So the Word got together, has to get together with the Holy Ghost for that birth, that new birth, to take place. So here he says in verse 5, "Except a person be born naturally and born from above, that person cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So there are two realities that we have to look at. And one is a natural reality where we see the things that are happening here and the things that are going on in this natural earthly arena. But then there's a spirit reality. And that spirit reality is a reality that you cannot see. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal," or subject to change, "and the things that are not seen are eternal." So it's interesting how we have that eternal life, and God has got some things that are not seen that are actually in the unseen reality that he has for us. And these things have been given to us. As a matter of fact, you can find these things in this New Testament. You might want to call it the last will and testament. Because Jesus, who died, left a will. And the will contains what your inheritance is. And it spells it out. And what happens is we have got to get that inheritance. And right now it is laid up for us, glory to God, in the unseen realm. Now, what we've got to do is get faith to access it. We have got to get faith to transfer it from the unseen reality into our hands. Say amen to that. So now, if you'll turn over with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Over in Romans chapter 10. So these are precious promises that God has for us. These things are ours. And they're in a realm or in a place that they have to be transferred. And so what we have to do is transfer those things in to our lives. Look what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, come on, by the word of God. You see, when you hear the word of God concerning the promise that God has for you, then faith for the promise is in the promise. Faith for the promise is in the promise. And even when you do hear that promise, you may not have enough faith at the beginning to access that promise. So come on over to 2 Thessalonians. Now, Thessalonians is not that hard to find. It's over by the T's. Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians. Come on over to 2 Thessalonians. And let's look at this part here in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth, come on, exceedingly. So faith grows. Faith grows. So we just see faith just doesn't stay stagnant. He said, Lord, increase, come on, our faith. So your faith can grow. What you can access 1 year, the next year you could be able to access a greater amount. In fact, God wants your faith to grow so that you can do greater and greater things for the kingdom of God with your faith. Now let's go back over to Luke's gospel again, and let's look at Luke chapter 17 again. And again, let me have you look at faith the way we're going to look at it over these 3 days, because I think if I can get you to look at it this way, you know, sometimes you look at it one way or look at it another way, and faith kind of, it's like a diamond, you know, you can... It's like something somebody's explaining to you. They'll explain it one way and you didn't get it, but they explain it another way and you say, oh, got it. Praise God. And that's the same thing about faith. Let's look at this. And he says, verse 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. Now, I'm just going to stop on these passages so we can get the full importance of it. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. Now, we know that a mustard seed is a very small seed, right? And if you've ever seen a mustard seed, you can put it in your hand, you can't hardly see it, let alone drop it on this carpet. I just challenge you to find it. However, it grows into a fairly, what? Large tree. So it's interesting how when you begin to say, what you say is hard to detect in terms of having any power or anything being changed. But faith groweth. Faith groweth as you continue to say. Now, here he says, say to this sycamine tree, and a sycamine tree is a tree that they tell me is a black mulberry tree. Black mulberry tree, we had some down south when I grew up. It's a tree that really, you got things look like blackberries on them, but they're not fit to eat. So this is a tree that's in the way. So you got a problem or a situation that you need change. It's in the way. Be thou plucked up by the root. Okay? So you're going to talk to the what? To the tree. You're going to talk to the what? The tree. See, the tree could be your problem. It could be your debt. It could be your body being sick. It could be, but you're going to talk to the tree. See, this is a little bit different than saying, Lord, come down and do something about this. No. You talk to the tree. Be thou plucked up by the where? Root. Now, what is a root? A root is something that often is underground and out of sight. A root is often unseen. Now, you can see the trunk, the branches, and the leaves and fruit if they're on it, but you can't see the root. However, when you start to operate in faith, now you're going to the root. Because the root of what you can see is usually something that you can't see. When I say that, I mean that spiritual things are at the root of natural things. That natural things are controlled by the higher order of the spirit. Now let me just give you an example there. You're sitting in this chair. Am I right about it? Now, if I look at your body, which is not really you, that is your body. That is not really you. Now, this is a key to operating in great faith, by the way. That is not you. That's your body. Now, I know you think you look cute, but that is your body. Now, suppose the real you, which is hidden in your body and is a spirit. Suppose the real you, which is a spirit, now unseen, leaves. What will happen to your body? Fall down. The reason why it will fall over is because the physical world is controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. That the reason why you can see something physically is because something spiritually has taken place. Are you following what I'm saying? So in terms of your body, you are in there. So if you leave, then the body falls over. Now, what will happen to that body if somebody just leaves it in that chair for a month or so? It'll rot, you know? So what was keeping that body looking good is the real you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, God, who is a spirit, saw darkness. And what did he speak to darkness? Light. And what happened? So a spiritual being controlled natural things. Got me? Now, if you walk in the spirit and operate in the spirit, then you too can speak to those mountains. Am I right about it? Are you following what I'm saying? The problem is that most people walking in the flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing. You gotta walk in the spirit. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, when you walk by the spirit and not by the flesh, you can do the same thing that Jesus did when a storm came up and Jesus spoke to it. So the enemy's job is to pull you down into the what? Flesh. So you have no power. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and you have been given dominion. Dominion means control. Dominion means rulership. Glory to God. I'm getting happy. Dominion means you run it. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? So one man said it like this, and I heard Ben Kinslow said it the other night. You ain't got no problems. All you need is faith in God. So what we're trying to do now through these faith refreshers is to refresh your faith, to bring you back up in the spirit so that you can continue throughout this year of getting some victories in your life. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right. So let's go back to this tree again. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, my Lord. Now, there's some revelation in that. Y'all don't mind if I stop and just give you the revelation. There's revelation in that. The revelation in that is this. In the natural, what we do is see in the natural when things work. Let's say a bomb goes off. You hear a loud what? Noise. You see all this so forth. Now, that's all right in the natural. But the spirit is different. The time that you're probably getting the most power, glory to God, is when you hear the less noise. You got a lot of noisemakers in church. You know yourself, if these lights are up here and something happens and you see some sparks shooting, what would you assume that's happening here? It's being shorted out. There's a short somewhere. Why? Because it's making a lot of noise. You got it? See, it's opposite in the spirit. In the spirit, you don't need but a little faith and you can get $1 million. He shunned up. You just a little. You don't need to feel it. Oh, ow, ow, yeah, ow. That's natural. That's natural. I said, Father, thank you. I believe I received. In Jesus' name. Are you following what I'm saying? Real cool, real cool. Don't even have to make no face. Now you better get that. Remember I used that example that time about the lady came into church and asked for some prayer? And they said, well, Deacon Jones will pray for you. She said, no, I don't want Deacon Jones. I want Deacon Brown to pray for me. He said, well, why Deacon Brown pray for you? Well, Deacon Brown got some strong prayer. Well, the difference was that Deacon Brown prayed loud. Wasn't no more power. He just loud. Are you following what I'm saying? And some people think, well, did get my prayer answered? I got to close my eyes. No. It says Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed, Father, I thank you. So you can open your eyes wide and get your prayers. See, there's a lot of things that the enemy has done to try to pull you down in the flesh to keep faith from working, because he's after your faith, not you. Faith. Now let's just keep going here. All right. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and what? It. Underline it. It. It what? It. Wait a minute. It. What is it? I'm going to say the tree. Whatsoever, huh? See, they try. Boy, I tell you, they try to cover all the bases out. Whatsoever. Yeah. I'm going to say the tree. The tree will obey you. I'm going to say your faith. Now, I want you to look at this. It should obey you. In the interlinear Greek, it says it would obey you. So it's not a maybe. It would obey you. Now, before I go on, let's look at this. If you had faith as a seed, you'd say. If you had faith as a seed. See, whenever you say, you sow. So if I had faith as a seed, I'd sow. Now, the first thing you say, it don't look like that. Why would I say that? Well, what do you want? If that's what you want, that's what you sow. Because whatever you sow, that's what you reap. So God couldn't look at darkness and say, woo, ain't it dark out there? What would he have gotten? And that's what many saints are doing. They're saying what they see. And what you got to do is say what you desire. Now, when you first say it, it's like a mustard seed. Look like it didn't impact nothing. How can this happen? But if you just say it and stay with it, what you sow is what you're going to reap. So if you had faith as a seed, you'd say. So you can tell the people who don't have faith as a seed, they won't say. You got to say. Now, I know it looks a little ridiculous saying it in front of folk. Turn, hold your hand right there. Turn over to Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 5. If you had faith as a seed, you'd say. Mark chapter 5. Now, this is one of those situations that when it's time to say something, somebody's sitting around listening to you. Now, that's the tough part. When I had that car and that car wouldn't start, that weather in Chicago was 60, 70 degrees below zero wind chill factor on the lake up there on the north side, and I was staying up there, and I was out parked out on the lake there, and I'm telling you that car, none of those cars would start all up and down that road, and I put that key in that ignition and turned it, and that it didn't say uh-uh. It just nothing. And I said, now, wait a minute. Now, Jesus said the things that he does or he did, I can do too. Now, I had been studying this. And I said, okay, I'm going to get this car. This car is going to start because I got somewhere to go. I stepped out of that car, stepped back off of it. Look around, see if anybody was looking. Can you see how the whole world is set up to keep you from using your faith? To intimidate you. Don't say that. They're going to think you crazy. Now, if I had a flat tire out there, you know what I'm talking about, and I was kicking it and cursing it and carrying on, somebody would have rolled by and rolled down their window and said, "Yeah, brother, I know what you're talking about. I know it." They'd agree with me. But when it's time to sow a seed, all of a sudden the enemy tried to close in on you. Try to talk to your mind. Don't say that. And what you ought to do is get real wild with it. Say things like this: "I'll never be sick another day in my life." Make the devil real mad. Now, this is when the situation where Jairus came to saw Jesus in verse 23, please. "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter..." Now, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, in verse 22. Verse 23, "He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and what will happen? And she shall live." Now, that's where his faith was, right there. And Jesus went with him, didn't he? And much people followed him and what? Thronged him, pushed on him. Now, by that time, this woman caught up with him, and she had the issue of blood, and I won't go through that because I want to come back to that. But then after he got her, the woman, healed, verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain woman, a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thy master any further?" Why are you going to trouble the master any further? Why? Leave him alone now. Your daughter's already dead. Now watch this. As soon, that's what you got to underline. As soon as Satan shoots that thought in your mind, you come back with something. As Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. And that's what happens with some of the saints. Y'all trying to take too many relatives with you. And they loaded with unbelief. I'm telling you, y'all, some of y'all still sitting up in places. Ain't got nobody sitting in there. I told you, some of them worried about, "Well, I got my auntie buried out back." Dig her up. Bring her on over here. We've got a cemetery over here. I'm saying what you got to do is you got to go with God. Because your faith needs to grow exceedingly. Look at verse 38. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly." Now, I mean, the atmosphere was set up for nobody to come in there with anything other than what was going on. They was in there tumulting. Verse 39. "And when he was come in, he said to them..." Said to who? Them. Talk right to them. "Why are you crying and making all this noise? The damsel is not dead." Come on. "But she's asleep." Oh, this is going to take some boldness now in this hour. And look what he said in verse 40. "And they laughed him to scorn." My Lord. "But when he had put them..." Not out. All out. "He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is by interpretation, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway..." Glory to God. What does straightway mean? Right now. The damsel arose, and what did she do? Walk. That means all of her strength came back. Now, I'm here to tell you what would have happened if Jairus would have believed those people and start shooting off at the mouth and saying, "Oh, I knew that was going to happen." Could Jesus have worked? See, he couldn't have worked because he needs that. He needs that partnership. He needs us to believe, keep our faith on the line. And oftentimes when you're operating in faith, right after you start believing, the enemy will come in with something that make it look as worse as it ever been. But that's when you keep your faith right on. My Lord, it's working. It's working. So God cannot operate without faith, and he cannot participate without it. We need faith to get God involved. So he got this woman up, and she walked. Let's go back over here to Luke's gospel. And I'm going to try to stay with my notes here now. All right, Luke. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17 again. Now we're talking about faith. As if you had faith to the grain of mustard seed, you might say, under this what? Sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. Now we know the problem would obey you, but let's go further than that. Let's say faith would obey you. Now this is why I say that. Look at the next verse. But which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and do what? Underline, serve me. Faith is a servant of the believer. Oh, I'm going to say that again because that didn't go on. Faith is a servant of the believer. My Lord. Faith is a servant, glory to God, of the believer. Now, what does a servant do for the master? Serves him. Serves him. Whatever is needed, faith or the servant of the believer takes care of it. Got it? Hold something right there. And let's start at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now we're going to go through several scriptures, so as I give them to you, just let them go and keep rolling. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. If you have it, read it with me. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's read it again. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's read it one more time. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's go over to Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians is just before the book of Ephesians. Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Faith is a servant of the believer. Now, there's a lot of things we can do with faith, but I'm just giving you another aspect of how you can look at faith, because perhaps as we look at faith over these 3 days as a servant of the believer, you're going to be able to use your faith like never before. Look what it says here in Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse 11. Let's read the entire verse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Let's say that last part again. For the just shall live by faith. Let's say it one more time. For the just shall live by faith. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Are you beginning to sense that the Lord is saying that the just shall live by faith? Okay, I'm letting you know that this is the way that you and I are supposed to live in this earth. If you've not been living this way, then that's not been the way God has made for you to live. The way you are constructed now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship. We have been remade and remolded and refashioned and remanufactured on the inside. And we are now made to live, come on, by faith. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's read that one first. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. For the just shall live by faith. Let's read verse 17 again. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's read that end part again. The just shall live by faith. Let's read it one more time. Just shall live by faith. All right, let's come all the way over then to Habakkuk. Oh my goodness. Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, I do not have all night for you to find this book. Habakkuk chapter 2. Are you getting a sense now that God wants you to what? Live by faith. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2. Now maybe you see why some of the things are not happening in the earth that need to be happening through the church. Because maybe the church is not living, come on, by faith. Look what it says here in Habakkuk chapter 2, and let's read verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now that one put one more word in there. What was that word? His. The just shall live by his or her faith. So God is going to give you some faith to live by. The just shall live by his faith. Now we're saying that faith is a servant of the believer. Let's go over to Mark's gospel and Mark's gospel chapter 4. Now, over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus did quite an extensive teaching on the hundredfold harvest. And he was teaching on the sower soweth the word. And as the word is sown, then it said the enemy comes immediately to try to steal the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, look what it says in Mark chapter 4, after he had finished this teaching, in verse 35. He says this. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now what? Full. The vessel was full. The vessel was full. I want you to get your faith working, because as your faith works, you'll get revelation quicker. The vessel was full. The ship was full. The vessel was full. What was it full of? Water. What does the sea often represent in the scriptures? Water, okay. It represents the world. Tell the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast where? Into the sea. Okay, now the vessel was full, but it was full of water. Got what I'm saying? It was full of water. Now look what it says here. I'm gonna pull you on in here. Praise God. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Asleep. Come on a pillow. Now, how many of you know the word never sleeps? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with who?
God.
And the Word was who?
God.
And God never sleeps or what?
Slumbers.
Or slumbers. Jesus was asleep, but the Word was still awake. Now, look what it says. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we're dying? Now, how many of you know God does care? Glory to God. He's waiting on some faith. Look what happened here. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind
and said to the sea, peace be still. So he's talking to stuff. And the wind and the sea, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have, say it. What? What? How are the just supposed to live? Now, let me ask you. Suppose somebody on that boat, suppose nobody on that boat had any faith. What might have happened to the boat? Sunk. What would the newspaper have said the next day? 13 lost at sea through a storm that came up. Now, where did the storm come from? Now, we know that it didn't come from God. Because if it came from God and it was the will of God, then Jesus rebuking the storm would have been out of the will of God. Am I right about it? So it couldn't have come from God. There's only other, one other place that it could have come from. Come on. It came from the devil. And he will send a storm your way and try to make it look like it's Mother Nature. And it ain't Mother Nature at all. It's that bad slew foot devil, and he's out to kill you. Rebuke the thing. Glory to God. You see, when you know it didn't come from God and you're sure that the devil's trying to put something on you, you won't have any problem standing up and rebuking the thing. The problem comes when you're not sure whether God is teaching you something. God don't teach you with no storm. He got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to teach you. And you better get it in your spirit, because if you don't have that in your spirit and you've been listening to somebody's radio station, some Christian station, or somebody's preacher telling you that God uses those situations to teach you something, let me tell you, you're going down for the count. Because where this church is going right here, anything that is depressing, anything that is downtrodden, anything that is hurting, anything that is sickening, anything that is depressing, rebuke the thing in Jesus' name. Now, I know you might have gotten in it because of your own disobedience, but I'm here to tell you, thank God we got a merciful God. Man, he's still looking out for you. Jump right up and accuse Jesus. Don't you care what's happening to me? Sure, God cares. But get him into your situation. Rise up. Let something rise up inside of you. Say, I ain't gonna be sick no more. This, I ain't gonna be broke another day in my life. And you got them putting everything on. God took my little daughter. God took my job. God's putting this flu on me. Just, girl, you know, I learned so much when I was in that hospital. Well, you didn't need to go in there. It's just because of your own hard head that you went in there and had to learn in the hospital. But I'm telling you, God was trying to save you from the car wreck. God was trying to save you from going bankrupt. God was trying to save you. So I ain't gonna let the enemy come in and tell me nothing. I know this is hard to take. But every time I have a doubt about it, I come back to this scripture. See, Jesus could have stood up and said, well,
I guess it's the will of God. Gloop, 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 gloop.
That ain't the will of God. That's the devil trying to kill you. Then you better get your faith together. All right, now one more thing I want to show you about that. Isn't it interesting that without faith, they could not have made it to the destiny that God had for their lives? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Without faith, they couldn't have made it across there. And I'm just saying that here, I'm real sensitive now in the things of God. Because I know God's got me on a track and I'm going somewhere. Come on over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. See, I'm getting mine. I'm getting mine. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. If I mess up, this is where I say, Lord, forgive me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I blew that one, but I'm keeping going, Lord. I ain't going to stop. I messed that one up, but I'm going on. I am so sensitive to the enemy trying to use folks to feed some garbage into my mind. I ain't going for it. I am so sensitive now to that because I'm on a track now. I'm on a track. All right, look what it says here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the what? Substance of things, come on, hope for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it. What is it? Faith. What is faith? Okay. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So the world was made out of nothing. But we found it wasn't made out of nothing. It was made out of something you couldn't see. And what you can't see is faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he did what? Please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, why faith? One, faith is a command. The just, come on, shall live by faith. Why faith? Two, faith destroys all limits. No more limits with faith. Why faith? Three, it takes faith to please God. Why faith? Number four, it takes faith to receive from God. To receive from God. Now let's just stop right there just a minute. Now let me just show you how I run this, how I do it in my own life. I said that I'm believing for everybody in this church to be a millionaire. Now, somebody might say, well, let's see, how can everybody be a millionaire? All right, let me show you how I can come to that conclusion, because it's by faith we understand. Okay, let me just show you that. This is what I do now. 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who is that? God, Jesus. So who's in you? God. Is God broke?
No.
Okay, he ain't broke. So you got a wealthy person. Come on, help me now. That's in you. He's in you, see. He's a wealthy person that's in you. Now, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 112. Now, you're going to have to turn with me quick. Psalms 112.